Ooh, that's a hard text. And every time I hear it, all I want to do is, I don't wanna! Who feels it? Okay. And yet, what Jesus was trying to help us understand is the truth of radical hospitality. A cornerstone of the Jewish faith, and one that flies throughout all of Scripture, is this reminder that we as followers of God are to show absolute love and hospitality. We welcome the stranger. We lift up the poor. We help those who are broken or hurting. We bring in the outcast. We protect. Forgiveness. That's hard. There's a point when someone has wronged you where you're sitting there thinking, okay, I don't really want this to happen, but what if? Nobody? Might just be me. I'm working on it. And yet, forgiveness is that moment when you stop wishing any form of ill on the other party. And if you can go even beyond that, because that's what Jesus is asking us to do, is to pray for that person, to lift up that person, to tell them, I still believe in you being good. Grr. I don't wanna. It's still my response. Because Jesus is calling us to do the hard things, to show the love of God, which is to say, to love all. We don't get to determine, oh, this person, they don't qualify anymore. They're out. Because that's not how it works. We're called to forgive. We're called to love. We're called to help. We're called to protect. Not just to be there for the people that we care about, but to go beyond that scope. That's a lot of what we talked about on Thursday, what people were fighting for on Friday. It's what we do. We love, we protect, we forgive. And therefore, to me, Jesus came not just to save us from death and the separation of God from our sins, but to save us from ourselves. Jesus was here not just to die on a cross, because so often we hear, well, it's about the birth and the death and the resurrection. Like, there was some time in between that. He was a human person in the world and you know, taught a few lessons. He came to teach us. He came to serve and to show us what true, honest service looks like. He came to help us learn how to love better. Even his disciples had to learn that lesson over and over and over and over, because we as humans with free will forget sometimes what it means to love. There's a show that I am in love with on Netflix called Sweet Magnolias. Anybody watch it? Okay, a few of y'all are cool. Whatever. I'm about to convert some people by the end of this. So when I first started watching Sweet Magnolias, which is not to be confused with Steel Magnolias, very different, the very opening scene is between Maddie, who is one of the main characters, and her soon-to-be ex-husband, Bill, sitting at the table with their lawyers trying to divide assets. So when I first started going through my own divorce process and I was rewatching this series, that one hit a lot harder because I suddenly had more identity with a character. But what I soon realized as I was watching this show, the number of times that Maddie gets wronged and then shows grace. Constantly. By the way, they go to a Lutheran church. Their pastor is female, so I'm guessing ELCA. Just saying. This could be your new Bible study. We can work on this. So Maddie, the reason that they're getting a divorce is because her husband, who is a doctor in a family practice, gets one of his nurses pregnant. a nurse who is far younger than him and significantly closer to the ages of his children, who Maddie has three of, than his own age. And so it is this entire show based on relationships. How do we relate to each other as parents, as children, as friends, as congregants, as community? They figure out relationships with funerals, with weddings, with all the things in between. Figuring out what to do after high school, figuring out what is really your calling in life. Learning that just because you come from a poor household does not mean you are not a smart and capable and incredible person. There are so many lessons. But what I love about Maddie, and I promise not to do any spoilers for season 4, which just came out a couple of weeks ago, but I make no promises for the other three. Maddie and Dana Sue and Helen are three best friends who have grown up together. There's a reference of something they did in kindergarten, so you know that they have been friends for life. They are godmothers to their kids. They are each other's people. And you know that something's wrong when those three are fighting. And the community knows. But what we also know is that sometimes there's that moment where they stop and process. And one of the kids is having one of these moments as a teenager dealing with a fellow teenager who has wronged her in high school to the point that she got excessively bullied. And she constantly sees this person as not good. And in a conversation with her Aunt Helen, she says, "I don't know how you see it. She's not the good person you think she is." And Helen drops this wonderful piece of wisdom. Sometimes, if we treat people as if they're good, it challenges them to be good. Is that not what our scripture tells us this morning? If somebody smacks you on the cheek, here's my other one. They steal your coat. Excuse me. They steal your coat. Here's my shirt. It's all, excuse me. Thank you. Ha ha. Thanks. No matter how you are wronged, there is a way to still show love. And in today's world, it's really hard. But God challenges us to do better, to be good, and to believe in the good of others, to look into a soul and to say, "You're a child of God." I know I've said this before, but there's a lot of new faces in this room. So one of the things that I still remember from my ex's daughter, who can drop 5-year-old wisdom out of nowhere, was when she came home one day from school and she was so frustrated because there was a little boy in her class named Max who was unruly and struggled a lot with rules and things and how to do life in a classroom. And I had to remind her that she was that kid in pre-K because she had never been in school before. Neither had Max. And finally, out of just absolute exasperation, "I'm just glad God loves Max because I don't think I can." Like, well, she knows part of it. But I think that's the reminder that I constantly need. If I am struggling to love you right now, I still know that God does. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you do in life. You are a child of God, a creation of God, knit together in your mother's womb with constant attention and intention for who you are. So the wisdom from Jesus, when he's here telling us what we need to know, right there in the Bible is that golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. I don't want to be treated by being smacked on the cheek. I don't think I'm going to do that to you, even if you did it to me. I'm trying to do better and hopefully help you be better. Don't seek revenge. That one's a hard one. Because sometimes you just really want to. People like to push the button. Some of them are really good at it. But what if we just can laugh it off and say, God loves you. It's okay. We give with an open heart. And we love God and we love our neighbor. There's a reason that we pass the peace before communion. It's not just this thing where we get to greet each other and say, oh, hi, I'm so glad to see you. I love you. Originally, it started as this moment for people to come together and say, before I take this body and blood that Jesus has given to us, I need to be right with you. Peace be with you. I do not wish ill on you. I wish good. I wish for you to be good, to have good, to know good, and to know love. Then we come to the table. And Jesus says, it is for all. That's the kind of love that we get to share. And we don't have to share it necessarily. We're still going to be forgiven. We get to share it. Isn't that an amazing thing? You are loved. The cup and the bread are given to you in love. To a God who gives us a teacher, love, and the chance to do better every day. Amen.